This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
What was spent and what was gained in the search for Osama bin Laden?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media, in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiotakis. Let's consider for a moment the actions of the United States, like, say, a corporate maneuver. Money goes out, and the country expects a return on the investment. The U.S. takes a tragic and horrific hit on 9/11, spends a ton of money to go out and get the people responsible, and yesterday takes out the top guy, Osama bin Laden. So nearly 10 years later, did the money we spent get the results we wanted? Michael O'Hanlon is a senior fellow for the Brookings Institution and specializes in defense policy. Good morning.
Good morning. Nice to be with you.
All right. Well, how much money was thrown into the search for Osama bin Laden?
It's a fascinating question. And as you know, with any issue in intelligence spending, we don't really know. And all we can do is try to look at some numbers and surmise. As you're probably aware, the publicly released, or at least occasionally publicly released intelligence figure for the whole U.S. intelligence community is around $80 billion a year now. And that's a huge increase from what it had been, you know, a decade ago when it was probably more like 40. Now, how much of it was going after bin Laden specifically? Probably a relatively modest chunk of that total. But certainly bin Laden and what happened on 9/11 contributed to an enormous increase in intelligence spending that would have to be measured in the many tens of billions of cumulative dollars by now.
Did we get a good return on that investment, do you think?
Well, of course, the war goes on. The struggle goes on. But I think we got an enormously good investment. And I think probably if you figured out the hourly wage we were paying people who were doing this, it was pretty modest because I know some of these people and the amount of hours, the number of days and weekends and nights committed to this effort is really quite extraordinary. And so my guess is the actual bin Laden cells that were operating here were probably only in the range of tens of millions of dollars a year, not tens of billions, which was the broader campaign against terrorism. And therefore, I think measured in those terms, the investment was very, very wise.
You think we're going to spend near as much money going forward as we did, say, over the past 10 or 15, 20 years trying to go after bin Laden?
Well, I don't think that the death of bin Laden will be the key determining feature in that decision. One could try to use the death of bin Laden as a sort of a symbolic moment to say, here we are now at a time when we can pivot. But of course, the president took exactly the opposite approach yesterday, and I think he was right to do that, reminding everybody that, in fact, the war goes on and that the implications of bin Laden's death may or may not be all that great.
Michael O'Hanlon is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution. Michael, thank you.
My pleasure.
All right. From the money the U.S. spent to the money going to bin Laden's terrorist operation, will its vast network survive without the chief fundraiser? Philip Zelikow was executive director of the 9/11 Commission, which released its report in 2004. He is with us now from his home in Charlottesville, Virginia. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
In the report, you talk about the continued operations of al-Qaeda. How much does bin Laden's death hamper its future funding?
The organization doesn't need a huge amount of funding. I think the significance is less in their fundraising capability and more in the worldwide symbolic presence of the organization. And bin Laden is an inspirational figure. Both his death and the success of the United States in tracking him down signals that there are other outlets for change in the Arab and Muslim world, and that al-Qaeda increasingly will seem a peripheral organization whose leader is now gone and maybe something that more and more seems like something of the past.
The Obama administration threw a lot of money at this operation. You think that helped?
Well, the main investments we've made is in the creation of these capabilities in the Joint Special Operations Command, and those are large investments. They've been made over a long time. The additional amount of money in order to get that organization to mount this operation, man, it's worth it.
Philip Zelikow is co-author of the 9/11 report. Thank you, sir.
Okay, you're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are mostly higher right now. The NASDAQ is flat. The S&P up about 0.2%. The Dow higher now by 24 points, 12,835. Construction spending was up nearly 1.5% for the month of March. That's according to the Commerce Department.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, offering sleeping money alerts to notify customers when their money could be doing more. Learn more at allybank.com. By Manta.com, providing an online destination for small businesses to be found and to find new customers. More online at Manta.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
There were celebrations outside the White House and around the world after people learned of Osama bin Laden's death. In France, the finance minister even said she expects the U.S. economy to see a surge of optimism because consumer confidence will pick up. Really? Bin Laden's death means people will forget about high gas prices and go out and buy stuff? Yeah, we were skeptical, so we sent Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer to ask some folks what the event will do to their spending habits.
The celebrations in front of the White House were pretty wild last night, with people climbing trees and singing the Star-Spangled Banner. But the city is all business this morning. There's a knot of TV reporters and cameras in front of the White House, and some onlookers, mostly people headed to work. Mike Blackwell was here last night and came back this morning. Before he moved to Washington, he worked in the World Trade Center in New York. He's had nightmares for years. Today's news gives him confidence to put down roots in Washington.
I always wanted a condo. Yeah, 3-bedroom condo.
But most people I talked to were like Matthew Cairns, a New Hampshire attorney in Washington for a conference. He says the euphoria is temporary and won't affect his family's spending.
You know, what affects our spending is how much money I'm making and how much, you know, what bills I have to pay at home and paying for kids to go to college. That's really what I think drives most people in the country rather than what's happening overseas.
Still, Cairns is afraid there might be another terrorist attack to avenge bin Laden's death. He says that fear may cause other people to pull back on spending. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
There's more on the financial implications of Osama bin Laden's death, including the world's reaction, at our website, marketplace.org. I'm on Twitter at Radio Chio. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Don't ask, don't tell is still the law. So colleges and universities that don't let military recruiters on campus don't get federal dollars.
On average, it probably costs a law school about $500,000 a year.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the price you pay for taking a stand. Next time on Marketplace, today's business news and the numbers from Wall Street as well from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.